Chapter 44. The great hall was filled with the cream of the realm, though given the hardships of the last year, that cream was more like watered milk. Many of the lords and ladies of the realm wore garments they wouldn't have had their servants wear a year ago. The number of nobles was also considerably reduced. Some had been killed in the coup or at Pavil's Grove. Others had sided early with the God King and had since fled. The Chamberlain had done his best to fill in the ranks and bedeck the Great Hall appropriately, but the pageantry seemed thin. For once, however, there was no criticism. It was too hard to critique the Royal Guard's threadbare uniforms, hastily patched with the colors of House Grayson, while wearing a stained dress and borrowed jewels. Kylar stepped in through a servant's entrance. He had no wish to be announced. He just wanted to see the effects of his handiwork. There was, however, one problem with the servant's entrance. It was full of servants.
"Milord? Milord?"
a cheerful man asked.
That will be all,"
Kylar said.
"If I use you to cover these clothes, are you going to eat a hole in the crotch?"
"Hard to say."
The Kakari seemed to smirk.
Milord? Is Milord lost?"
The cheerful servant didn't wait for an answer.
"Milord may follow me."
He turned and began walking, and Kylar had no choice but to follow. Some servants, he thought, were too smart for their own good. The servant marched him to the main entrance and handed him off to the Chamberlain, a humorless man who looked him up and down, cocking his head like a bird.
"You are out of order, Marquis. You were to enter after your lord."
Kylar swallowed.
"I'm sorry. You've mistaken me. I'm Baronet Stern. You needn't announce..."
The Chamberlain double-checked his list.
"Duke Gyre informed me pointedly that I was to announce you."
He promptly turned and struck the ground with his staff.
"Marquess Kylar Drake, Lord of Havermere, Lockley, Venas, and Prosin."
Feeling like he wasn't in control of his own body, Kylar walked forward. Eyes turned toward him, and more than once he heard, "Wolfhound." Logan hadn't only legitimized Kylar by giving him a real title, unlike the baronetcy of Lee Nought-held lands. He'd promoted him to dizzy heights. A marquis was beneath only the Dukes of Cenaria. Kylar's chest tightened. It was a real title, with real lands and real responsibilities. Worse, Logan must have worked with Count Drake to have Kylar formally adopted. Kylar's bogus pedigree had been wiped clean. Logan was putting his own integrity behind Kylar. It was his last attempt to save Kylar from himself. Kylar took his place to Logan's left, in the front row. Logan smiled, and the bastard was so charismatic, Kylar felt himself smiling along with him, too astonished to be pissed off.
"Well, well, my friend," Logan said. "I half expected you to be slinking around up in the rafters. So glad you decided to join us mortals on the ground."
Rafters?
Right, so overdone."
Kylar cleared his throat, flabbergasted.
"You're causing quite the scandal."
Still facing the front, Logan said,
"I won't give up my best friend without a fight."
Silence.
"You honor me," Kylar said.
"Yes, I do."
Logan smiled, clearly proud of himself, but charmingly so.
"Did Mama Kay—"
"I came up with this all by myself, thank you, though Count Drake augmented it."
"The adoption?"
"The adoption," Logan confirmed. 6 rows back, left side.
Kylar looked, and the blood drained from his face. In a section of poorer barons, a middle-aged blonde lord and lady, in even more modest clothing than most, stood under the stern banner. Beside them was a young man, as dark as they were light. Their son, Baronet Stern. That might have been awkward, Kylar said. We all need friends, Kylar, Logan said. Me, most of all. I've lost almost everyone I can trust. I need you. Kylar said nothing. He noticed Logan's clothing for the first time. The Duke was wearing a somber tunic and trousers, finely cut, but unrelievedly black. They were mourning clothes. Logan was still mourning Janine, his whole family, many of his retainers, and perhaps Sarah Drake as well. That old sick feeling rose in Kylar's stomach once more. Logan and Count Drake both were gambling their honor, which to each of them was his most sacred possession, on Kylar. Tara Grayson's assassination now would be more than a tragic difference of opinion. To Logan, it would be betrayal. There was nothing to do. Marquis Kylar Drake sat in the front row with eyes constantly on him. Perhaps the Night Angel could invisibly drop from the rafters and scoop up the deadly crown, but Marquis Kylar Drake could only watch the consequences of his choices unfurl. Kylar stood as Tara Grayson was announced, as she strode regally to the front, as the pater and the priest lifted prayers and blessed her coronation. Finally, the two divines and Duke Wesseros together lifted the crown from its purple pillow.
Not yet. Dear God, not yet.
Kylar hadn't even thought of what would happen to those crowning Tara if she was already sweating. Symbolizing all the gods and the land itself, the three men placed the crown on Queen Grayson's brow. Nothing happened. She accepted a scepter from Duke Wesseros and a sword from Lord General Grayson, held each for a long moment, then handed each back. The men bowed. Then she bade them rise as she sat. The men retreated, and Kylar's heart edged back out of his throat. Trumpets pealed, and Kylar jumped. Everyone stood, and applause thundered through the great hall. The queen smiled as everyone cheered. She stood and gestured generously with her hands. Doors banged open on every side, and a procession of servants streamed in, bearing tables and food. Musicians and jugglers mingled with the crowds as the servants rearranged the room for a feast. Kylar barely saw it. His eyes were latched on Tara Grayson. Logan clapped him on the shoulder. Well, that's that, huh? Kylar didn't turn. Come, Marquis Drake. Tonight you sit at the high table.